I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. Attorney General Doug Gansler is in hot water again for some remarks he made about Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, his chief opponent in the Democratic gubernatorial primary. Gansler reportedly disparaged Brown's service in Iraq, saying his duty as a military lawyer was not a real job. That prompted a veterans group to condemn Gansler, and for Gansler to try to explain his remark. With just 10 weeks to go before Maryland's June primary, will this slip by Gansler hurt his efforts to gain on Brown, who has been associated with the widely reported flaws in the state's online health insurance exchange? Midday Politics this hour with WYPR senior news analyst C. Frazier Smith, Baltimore Sun opinion editor Andy Green, and you, our listeners. First, the news from NPR. And welcome back to Midday, everyone. Dan Rodericks with you every Monday through Friday, noon to 2 on WYPR Baltimore, WYPF Frederick and Hagerstown, WYPO Ocean City, and the Eastern Shore of Maryland, streaming live online through WYPR.org.
The cost of Maryland's healthcare website mess is the impact on real people who need chemotherapy, heart medicine, or care for a child that can't get it. As governor, I won't accept that failure. People need healthcare. I'll get it done. That's fair. That's my fight.
That was a television commercial for Doug Gansler. That was his voice, the Maryland Attorney General and Democratic candidate for governor. We're a mere 10 weeks out from the gubernatorial primary, and at this point, the campaign has turned negative. The latest squabble erupted yesterday. Speaking at a candidates' forum in Bethesda, Doug Gansler made a remark about his opponent, Lieutenant Governor's chief opponent, Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown's work as a military lawyer in Iraq, suggesting that it was not a, quote, real job. Gansler's comment drew instant outrage from a veterans group and a political action group that represents veterans is demanding an apology. I got an email this morning from votevets.org that begins, Dear Dan, it seems like every election year there's a candidate who questions the service of a veteran running for the same office. Joe Walsh did it to Tammy Duckworth. The Swift Boat Veterans for Truth famously did it to John Kerry. Now, Doug Gansler has added his name to theirs, saying that the time his opponent Anthony Brown spent in Iraq was not a real job and that it did not constitute any leadership experience. This is not the first time that Gansler has had to explain a remark, backpedal on a remark about Anthony Brown, a remark that people considered inappropriate even in the age of snark. Today's Midday Politics Hours is all about the gubernatorial race. Joining me here in Studio A is WYPR senior news analyst and Daily Record columnist C. Frazier Smith. Frazier, nice to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Dan.
And also joining us today, Andy Green, my colleague from Calvert Street, the opinion editor for the Baltimore Sun. Andy, nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Okay, so that's the latest. We'll skip past the television commercial, which was mildly negative, I would say, of Anthony Brown. Well, never really mentioned Anthony Brown
by name.
Does
not mention him at all, which is stunning to me. If you're going to go there, go there.
Exactly. But let's talk about the remark yesterday. Frazier, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. What do you think of what Gansler said and the impact of this possibly on his candidacy?
Well, I think, first of all, it's another example of when you should have the complete text of what the man said. Because it looks as if, in a way, even possibly without any effort on behalf of the Brown campaign to tee it up for Brown supporters to make more of it than actually exists. I mean, I've only heard it
once. Do you want to hear the rest of the quote?
Sure.
Here's some quote from Aaron Cox's story in The Sun today. I'm running against somebody who has never managed anything, never run anything, Gansler said. There are ads about how he was a lawyer in Iraq, and that's all fine and good. But this is a real job, and we need to have somebody who actually has leadership experience, who has done projects. Well, does that help you a little bit more, Andy?
I mean, does that strike you as really negative?
Well, yes. I interpreted
it exactly the way it's reported in The Sun, that he's saying a military lawyer job is not a real job.
It really just falls into a long pattern of Doug Gansler saying Anthony Brown is an empty suit. That's been his theme for a long time, and he has said it in a variety of belittling and insulting ways over the course of the last 9 months. As far as whether this is some, a torpedo to the Gansler campaign, I would say that if you are sensitive to this, if you're saying, boy, you know, he's kind of going off on Anthony Brown in unfair ways, he probably lost your vote a long time ago.
Let's go back to the comment he made last summer or fall, just to remind listeners about this. This one was considered inappropriate, too.
Yeah, he was speaking to a group of his campaign volunteers. Somebody recorded it without his knowledge, and the tape of it landed in the media. And he said, and I don't have the exact quote at my fingertips here, something to the effect of the Brown campaign is basically about a campaign to be the first African-American governor of Maryland, and there's nothing more to it than that.
Hey, what have you got after that? Or something like that, right?
Yeah. So this is not exactly the first time that Gansler has gotten in hot water for this line of attack. But, what's interesting about it is, of course, there is a very legitimate line of inquiry about Anthony Brown on this ground. You know, first of all, lieutenant governors in Maryland have traditionally not gone much of anywhere after that because there are no real assigned responsibilities to the job. And in particular, the one thing we all know that Anthony Brown was supposed to be in charge of was implementing the Affordable Care Act in Maryland, which did not go smoothly, as Gansler, in an uncharacteristically kind fashion, pointed out in that TV commercial.
Yeah, that TV commercial, well, we call it negative because it's pointing out something negative about your chief opponent, really isn't that harsh. And it doesn't even mention Anthony Brown, as we pointed out earlier. But getting back to this comment about military service, I think that's sort of out of bounds, isn't it, to attack someone's military service? Heck, I mean, the Swift Boat guys attacked John Kerry, who had, you know, been wounded in Vietnam. Here's Anthony Brown, who served 5 years as an Army helicopter pilot in Germany during the 1980s, earned a Bronze Star for his 10-month deployment in Iraq in 2004. He worked as a lawyer in the Green Zone in Baghdad. That's according to his campaign. But even if he hadn't done that, even if he hadn't been overseas in Iraq, to belittle somebody's military service, not a smart thing.
I don't think it's... I mean...
You disagree that this is a belittling comment?
I think that what the man was saying was that that his opponent has not had any administrative experience. And if he has, what is it? And I think this is the kind of thing that he has to expect and figure on how to deal with, because he says so little about what he's going to do or what he has done.
Anthony Brown.
Yes.
No, I agree with you there. That is a fair point.
But, this is, again, this is the way he said it is going to get us talking about.
It's the way he said
about it. Whether military service is fair game for criticism. You know, there have been a number of other blunders with the Gansler campaign about putting things in there that are going to completely drive the conversation in ways that he doesn't want. For example, he puts out his plan about recidivism, reducing recidivism, very important thing, issue that I'm glad he addressed. But he includes in there, we're going to give tablet computers to every inmate. That's the only thing people can talk about.
It's the only thing when he was here for his interview with me, he mentioned that that's the only thing anybody mentioned. Well, that's politics, right?
Because it's like the bright, shiny object there. Yeah. Similarly, he puts out a plan for how to save money in the state budget. Important thing. Glad he did it. Had some very worthwhile suggestions in there. Procurement reform, you know, stuff like that. Very unsexy, but good to do, important to do. But included in there is the idea of eliminating the state prosecutor's office, which is the office that investigates political corruption. Took out Sheila Dixon.
Yeah.
John Leopold.
I mean, what are you doing?
This is a show about politics, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that it's some of this is what an old political hand used to say is contrastive. You know, it's not negative, it's contrastive. Yeah, and sure. Also, I mean, you know, we're all upset about negative campaigning, but really, you know, you're looking at who these guys are and what brings them, what they bring to the table. And you know, so, I mean, I think, for example, I think if Brown wasn't running his Rose Garden campaign, he could almost come back at Gansler saying, you've never run anything either in terms of a you know, that's comparative to a $40 billion business, mm-hmm, which the state of Maryland is.
No, yeah, Dan and I were talking about this earlier, is that if you want to find the guy who has the most directly transferable experience to this job, it's David Craig.
Exactly.
Hartford County executive to governor, right?
Yeah,
right.
And he was in the legislature for a long time before that.
Is the Republican candidate, one of the Republican candidates.
And he's running against somebody else that's running a stealth campaign. Somebody else that doesn't show up at a lot of the forums.
But, you know, there are other people, you know, Ken Ullman, the Anthony Brown's running mate, is the Howard County executive. In fact, another way that Doug Gansler belittled Anthony Brown at one point was to note that his running mate is more qualified than he is. Or then the stealth candidate you just referred to, Larry Hogan, his running mate also has terrific administrative experience. Boyd Rutherford is a guy who has been a top administrator in federal agencies and on the state level as well. So if you're looking for manager-in-chief, there are people out there. It's just not necessarily Brown or Gansler.
We'd like to throw this out to our listeners in this hour of the show. Open phone lines here at midday, 410-662-8780. Our email address, you can send comments that way too, midday@wypr.org. What do you think of Doug Gansler's comment about Anthony Brown's military service? What do you think about his campaign ads? What do you think about this campaign in general? Have you made up your mind who you're going to vote for? Are you still undecided? We'd like to hear from you. 410-662-8780 again is our number here on the show. Frazier, going back to Anthony Brown and Doug Gansler, you make some points about it. You referred to his Rose Garden campaign. Anthony Brown is content to sit back and let this sort of unfold, stay as far away from the Maryland Health Exchange debacle as possible, of course. And he's not really been called out to explain much about that, really. He's attended a couple of hearings in Annapolis during the session, but the investigation about what happened, what actually happened with the rollout of that exchange, he really hasn't been tackled yet.
Yeah,
except in the press, I guess.
He's done a rope-a-dope on that. I mean, he's just kind of backing up, bobbing and weaving on that and trying to avoid saying anything that will be controversial or that could hurt him.
Right.
And that's the way he's running.
Well,
and I think a lot of people are upset about that, actually. People, you know, I talk to people sometimes to say, who should we vote for? We don't know enough about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're inclined to, we're really considering him, but who is he?
Anthony Brown.
Yeah. And what does he want to do?
Yeah.
The lieutenant governor's specific response when Gansler has made more pointed attacks to him on the health insurance website is to say, oh, well, Gansler is just attacking Obamacare. He's just like a Republican. He's like Andy Harris or one of these guys who hates Obamacare, which is, of course, poppycock.
Right, it's an interesting comeback, though, to associate him with...
sort of a cheap comeback,
yeah,
if you ask me.
It is.
But that's the strategy so far.
410-662-8780, Midday Politics. Dan Roderick's here with Andy Green of the Baltimore Sun and WYPR senior news analyst and Daily Record columnist, of course, Frazier Smith. Please give us a ring. We'll be right back. I'm running against somebody who has never managed anything, never run anything, Gansler said of Anthony Brown. There are ads about how he was a lawyer in Iraq, and that's all fine and good, but this is a real job, and we need to have somebody who actually has leadership experience, who has done projects. I mentioned votevets.org. Its chairman calling this slime ball politics, criticizing Doug Gansler, the attorney general, for what he said Monday about the military service of Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, his chief rival, in the June 24th Democratic primary. June 24th is actually 10 weeks from today.
Nine weeks. I counted it this morning.
I did, Andy. I did. We're in a week that—did you include this week?
I don't know. Well,
Nathan Sterner and I went over this at length. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's a Tuesday in June, and it's about 9 or 10 weeks away. Anyway, and
we
I
need
wonder,
someone with a real calendar.
In February, the Sun had a poll out that showed, what, 35% of voters undecided
on
the
it was
Democratic
40.
Side?
Yeah, it was undecided was winning by far.
Oh, okay.
And so the Gensler campaign put out an internal poll last week, and, you know, take this for what it's worth, because internal polls, who knows, and they don't release the crosstabs or anything like that, so you don't know the details. But Gensler was claiming, like, real momentum based on this, because in comparison to his previous internal poll, it showed that Anthony Brown's support had dropped by, like, 9 points. But actually what it also showed was that Gensler's support was basically the same, and Heather Mazur's support was basically the same as it had been. So the momentum in this race does seem to be behind undecided.
Still.
Yeah.
410-662-8780. Let's take some phone calls. Welcome our listeners into this conversation, Midday Politics, with Andy Green of the Baltimore Sun and Fraser Smith of the WYPR news staff. Let's go to Hunter in Baltimore. You're on Midday. Hi.
Hi. I think Gensler meant what he said. It's an all-volunteer army, and we don't know what Lieutenant Governor went through. I'm not a supporter of his. But it is, Dan, I agree with you 100%, in poor taste, bad character, bad form. Gensler's off my list. I'll listen offline.
Because of this comment, or had you, we lost Hunter. He just hung up. I was tempted to ask him whether Gensler was off the list before this, or like Fraser was saying, or Andy said earlier, it was he might have already been off your list. But I'm curious if folks were considering Doug Gensler, and this comment kind of pushes you one way or the other. We'd like to hear from you. Eileen in Finksburg in Carroll County. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. I wanted to bring up Gensler and underage drinking. As state's attorney, I think he ignored the party that he also attended where his son was and was underage and drinking. And I think that's hypocrisy. And that kind of turned me off against him. And then this remark against the veterans has also, he's off my list completely. So, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but it's not going to be Gensler.
Excuse me. So let me ask you what I wanted to ask the earlier caller, Eileen. Was Gensler off your list because of the incident last summer down at the beach?
No, I was still questioning it and wondered if I had the full details on that. But it kind of threw me, and then this one just makes me think he's hypocritical and mean-spirited, and I'm not voting for him.
Thank you very much, Eileen. Now, Fraser, I think you were with me the last time we talked about the gubernatorial campaign, or maybe it was Barry Raskovar, I don't remember, but we didn't get very far into this conversation about the candidates, the Democratic candidates. Didn't spend much time talking about the Republicans early in the show, but we got the listeners got all caught up in this topic again of the beach party down in the Delaware Shore, the photograph of Doug Gensler appearing there, appearing to take a selfie photograph of himself surrounded by partying teenagers. Later confirmed to have been drinking alcoholic beverages or at least beer at that party. And I told you, I'm not surprised that it comes up. It's just that it was caller after caller focusing on this issue, especially women.
It's like Beach House Gate or a beer gate or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. It's the kind of thing that gets rooted in people's minds. And then when you've got a campaign that has to take some risks because you're way behind, and so you end up out on a limb that resonates with what you did before. I mean, you know, the risk you take is that, you know, people will think of you what they thought before. They'll remember that because they're thinking, oh, that's kind of that's unseemly to be questioning military service.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem with the beach incident is twofold. One, there's a picture of it, and the picture really sticks in people's minds. And two, it's something that you can really connect with. You know, I have never tried to implement a health insurance exchange website or manage a $140 million project or whatever it was. But voters all over the state are familiar with the idea of kids going to the beach after they graduate from high school and what that entails and the decisions that parents make. And so to the extent that anyone has sympathy for Mr. Gensler about how he dealt with that, I think it gets conflated and or gets muddled up in people's minds, and they can't quite wrap their minds around the fact that this is also a guy who is the chief law enforcement officer,
Attorney General,
who appeared in public service announcements trying to stop teenage drinking. You know, we all maybe struggle with what to do with our own kids, but we aren't in that position, and I think people have real problems with it for
well,
that reason.
Well stated, Andy. Drew in Towson writing to us by email. I wish I could say I was surprised by Mr. Gansler's comments, but I wasn't. Throughout his career, his high opinion of himself and his low opinion of anyone who happens to disagree with him has shown through more clearly than his accomplishments. Though I am not a supporter of Mr. Brown or Mr. Gansler, I would vote for Delegate Heather Mazier if I were a registered Democrat. I can't help but wonder what Mr. Gansler believes constitutes a real job. I mean, he is an attorney after all. Hillary in Parkville. We welcome you to the show. Go right ahead, please.
Hi there.
Hi.
So, first off, anyone who served our country deserves all of our respect. So, just first off, anything negative that's been said, I completely disagree. But as a, you know, as an informed voter, I'm completely bored by these negative campaigns. It's like reality TV show. And honestly, and I'm also now I'm offended because I feel like, you know, it, Dan, you've said in the past that, you know, Maryland's governor position is considered, is called, has been called the Big Daddy's chair because it's always, we've never had a female governor. And I don't understand why we're not talking about Heather Mazier more. She's running a clean campaign, no negativity coming from her campaign. She's just got you know, real policy rollouts, and she's speaking from the heart, and I just, she's got my vote, and I just don't understand this, the negative campaign. It's just old school, and not in a good way. So.
Interesting, yeah.
So, thanks for bringing Delegate Mazier up, because she is, I think, running a very interesting campaign here. You know, personally, I don't agree with all of the policy proposals she's put out, but I will say she is really presenting the most coherent vision of any of the candidates about where she wants to lead this state. You know, it all makes, you know, it goes together. It's well detailed. So I've been holding these forums for the gubernatorial candidates, right? We've gone through five of them now.
At the Baltimore Sun.
We've had all three Democratic candidates, and we've had a couple of the Republicans so far, with a couple more to come. When Delegate Mazier came, you know, the atmosphere was completely different than it was for anyone else. There was just so much more energy in the room from the audience. They were so in tune with what she was saying. You know, there was applause after literally every answer she gave. And that was absolutely not the case with any of the other candidates.
How about when she spoke about her minimum wage proposal, which was to raise it considerably higher than it is now by the year 2022?
Yeah, everything.
Everything.
Minimum wage, legalizing marijuana, nine yards.
I wrote a column about this a couple of weeks ago about Gansler and Brown and what the decision is there for a Democratic voter, and then how to consider Mazier. And I went through these same policies. I reread all of her policy statements. I agree with you. It is a coherent vision. I very much agree with you. I was thrown off a little bit by a headline that appeared in our paper on April 15th. Heather Mazier would legalize physician-assisted suicide. And, you know, as we were stating before about Doug Gansler's proposal for dealing with recidivism, inmates who come back into our prison system within 3 years, all the focus was on his proposal to give them tablets
behind bars
so they could prepare for release. Here, she's putting out a proposal for policies for senior citizens, and she comes up with physician-assisted suicide.
Obviously not the only proposal she has on that regard.
But the one that gets the headline,
yeah.
The one that gets the attention, and I'm thinking if you're out there to convince people who are, you know, turned off by Brown, Gansler, are not sure anyway, are undecided, they think you're a little too far to the left, a little too extreme with your ideas, for this to be attached to you now is not a wise thing to do politically at this point. That was my reaction to that.
I think Heather Mazier is making a good case for herself. But what you down the road, frankly, I mean, I think in a sense where she's advertising herself for something down the road and doing a good job of it. But what she can see, the vision playing field is completely open to her because of the dynamics of the race among the people that have a chance to win.
I would say also the Republican candidates have a pretty coherent vision too, albeit all four of them have pretty much the same vision, which is to erase in as much as possible the O'Malley legacy.
But if you are in a race where you're way ahead or you're way behind, the dynamics are very different. You know, the one guy says, "I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to talk
Rose
to
Garden.
Reporters."
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't like that. We want to know who we're voting for. That's democracy. And I think one of the problems we have here is there are too few outlets for considered judgment about what people are saying. And the Baltimore Sun, of course, is one of them. But, you know, it's not surprising that 40% of people, I mean, the sort of collapsed campaign season is another reason for this. But, you know, so you've got 40% of the people are undecided. I mean, that's not good.
Here's an email from Larry who says, "I have decided that I will not vote for Anthony Brown until he issues a public apology for his mismanagement of the Maryland Health Exchange debacle. He was in part responsible. All he has done is dance around the topic or avoid it entirely. As of now, Heather Mazier has my vote." That's Larry writing to us from Ocean Pines down on the Eastern Shore near Ocean City. Rob's in Mount Washington here in Baltimore. We'll go to you next. Hi.
Hello. First of all, I can't vote for any of these folks, I just want to say, but kind of off the governor's race for a second, Van Hollen better watch out that there may be a Maryland version of Elizabeth Warren in this Mazier lady in the future. But I want to say is, knowing what I see of Gansler and what I see on TV and read, there's no way that this guy would have meant that comment as a wholesale attack on veterans and enlisted people. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, let's look at this from a common sense perspective. He was merely saying that, you know, hey, I wouldn't have botched up to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars the health care exchange in the most important time in its infancy. And he was just clearly making an experience parallel. And the other thing is, too, it seems like the O'Malley campaign is super crazy hyped up trying to get Brown elected. I wonder if O'Malley is still carrying a grudge from when Gansler beat his dad in the 98 or whenever it was in Montgomery County.
Thank you for those points, Rob. Appreciate hearing from you. I think it's particularly not smart or not appropriate for someone who didn't serve in the military to knock anyone in any way who did serve in the military. I just don't. I don't think in a political campaign.
And also,
campaign,
I would say appropriate or not appropriate, it's
worse.
Just not smart.
It's not smart. And to me, it compounds. It makes it worse. And I don't think, I agree with Rob. I don't think that Doug Gansler was belittling all veterans or military service in general.
Or at least didn't intend to.
I don't think he intended to. But he's focusing on his opponent's military experience, which, Anthony Brown has every right to promote in his campaign. There aren't that many politicians left who can even do that nowadays. I think he's got a problem speaking off the top of his head, shooting from the hip, shooting from the lip, so to speak.
You know, being in Iraq, whatever your job was over there, I mean, the man is a lawyer, and I don't think being in Iraq was a walk in the park, was it?
No. And there's a great divide in our country between those who volunteer and those who do not. Great divide. Larry's next. I'm sorry, Larry. Larry in Baltimore.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Look, I first want to say I've been a lifelong Democrat. I think the last time I voted for Republican, Mathias was still a senator. But with what's happened this past year with the health care exchange and also with the passage of the Firearm Safety Act last year, I can't support any Democratic candidates any longer. First off, even if the health care website had been a complete success, what added value did the citizens of Maryland get for that $120 that they couldn't have gotten at no additional cost by just simply going along with the federal plan?
$120 million.
I do have some answer to that, actually.
Okay, go ahead, Andy.
So part of what the state was trying to do when they were building this health insurance website was to also upgrade our Medicaid eligibility and case management system, which is something that all states had to do because the Affordable Care Act changed some of the rules. So all the states are having to do this. States that did it did that as a standalone project, like Virginia, for example, uses the federal health insurance exchange. They still had to upgrade their Medicaid systems. That cost them, I want to say it was like $80 or $90 million. So even if we had gone with the federal exchange from the get-go, it wouldn't have been free.
Politically, it was a way also for O'Malley to embrace, and Brown and other Democratic leaders in Maryland, to embrace Obamacare and promote it and say, we're going with this. Other states can sit around. We've got these Republican governors who haven't done anything. We're going forward. And boy, did it blow up. Let's go to Wendy in Baltimore and take her call. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I am concerned about Brown and Gensler. It's the bashing I don't believe in. They should talk about what they want to do. And an observation that I made when I went to an education forum where all three were on the stage one at a time, and they didn't have the depth and they didn't have the substance that Heather did. She was able to answer complete, long, detailed answers. She's very prepared, and so I'm more concerned that they don't stop the bashing and talk about what they really want to do. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And Heather Mazier, Delegate Mazier, is joining us. She's phoned into midday, candidate for governor. Heather Mazier, thank you for calling.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Sure.
I happened to catch a little bit of this and have seen some of your discussions in other forums about a concern about the Death with Dignity proposal that I have advanced in the campaign. And I thought it might be just worthwhile to have a personal connection to you and your listeners on why this is a proposal that I advanced in the context of a larger package of proposals that also included retirement savings and focusing on geriatric mental health care and making Alzheimer's research a priority for the state. But on senior medical decisions, every senior center, every local community gathering that I have had in-depth conversations with families about these really challenging medical decisions and having those decisions be respected, when it comes down to compassionate care, respecting seniors' choices, this Death with Dignity approach is just one option that families want to be able to have at their disposal. If they're mentally competent, terminally ill, have only 6 months to live, I hear so often from these families that they want to be able to have a choice about their medical decisions at the end of their life. And I just thought it was worth clarifying that to you and maybe answering any questions that you might have, because I know that you've expressed some concern about this in a few different forums. And it is it's an issue that I know traditional media has fluffed up as a controversy, like, oh, it's physician-assisted suicide, which is technically a separate issue. But this Death with Dignity proposal is really grounded in what the seniors of Maryland are asking lawmakers to advance on their behalf, and I think it's an important conversation for us to engage in.
To quote your policy specifically, it says, if terminally ill, mentally competent adults choose to end their life, they should be able to seek a life-ending dose of medicine from their physician. Whether or not people agree with that or not is certainly a controversial idea. It hasn't been settled. Maybe it's been settled in a few states. I don't know. Oregon, Washington, Vermont. I know they have Death with Dignity laws. It just seemed to me, and this is a political comment I made, Delegate Mazier, and that is you're trying to convince Maryland Democrats to vote for you, to take you seriously, to raise an issue that is so, in my experience, has been very controversial, very provocative, unsettled. At this point, just didn't seem like smart politics to me, and I'd tell you that directly.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And yet my campaign has never been about shying away from something that appears to be controversial. People thought that proposing legalizing marijuana and trying to decriminalize possession of marijuana was somewhat controversial as well when I started talking about it in November. And we walked out of this legislative session with being the 18th state to decriminalize possession, because as we actually started to engage in the dialogue and allowed the views of the voters of Maryland to come into the hallways of Annapolis, it was really clear that that's what they wanted us to do as well. And we're going to find the same thing with death with dignity proposals. And what I find in every stretch of the state is voters that are anxious for true leadership, that's willing to open a door of dialogue on topics that in the past have been deemed too controversial, and so politicians won't touch it because it might impact whether or not they can get votes or whether or not they can get elected. But that's not the kind of leadership this state's looking for right now, and that's what I'm offering voters, which is a non-status quo choice in this race. I'm not doing it to be controversial. I'm doing it to allow for the wishes and desires of a majority of Marylanders to be able to come forward and be a part of the dialogue on how we move policy and make things happen based on what is going to improve people's lives, not on what is going to help politicians get elected.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, Delegate Heather Mazier.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
We'll take a break here and come back and take some more phone calls. Dan Rodericks, along with Andy Green, my colleague from the Baltimore Sun, who serves as opinion editor at Baltimore Sun and BaltimoreSun.com, and C. Fraser Smith, senior news analyst here at WYPR and columnist for the Daily Record. A short break. We'll be right back. Elaine says, I feel that Doug Gansler's comments are being hyped up. I am African-American, and everyone I talk to feels that Anthony Brown has no accomplishments. I will not vote for him. Charles writing in to say, I feel that Doug Gansler is just another negative campaigner and one with a talent for putting his foot in his mouth. I praise our armed forces for their work, dedication, and sacrifice. I have no knowledge of Mr. Brown's job in the military, but just because he was in the military, it should not exclude people from questioning the applicability of that experience to a future job. Saying that because he served gives him a free pass is preposterous. I will not be voting for either of them. That's Charles. Our email address is midday@wypr.org. Dan Rodericks here with Fraser Smith and Andy Green. We'll go back to the phone lines and hear from our listeners and get comments of our guests. David in Baltimore, thank you for calling.
Hey, hey. I feel I've learned more in probably the last 10 minutes or so about what's going on with Governor Ace than I have since it started, I guess. But I guess my question and concern is, when it comes to just deep topics and getting into ideas and things that the governor would want the conversation to begin with, it seems like we just have this edited down or Cliff Notes type version of human beings. Even on the last comment where she said, even if you disagree, Dan, with the assisted suicide topic, I think a governor's role is to just say, we're going to devote some time to the conversation about this. She's not saying, I'm passing this, I wrote the law. When she's elected, there's a whole process of what happens. But at this point, I feel I have no idea what any governor will do once they govern.
Okay, thank you, David. Just to repeat that, Heather Mazier's proposal says, if terminally ill, mentally competent adults choose to end their life, they should be able to seek a life-ending dose of medicine from their physician. That sounds to me like physician-assisted suicide. Thus the headline, wow. Mazier would legalize physician-assisted suicide.
I mean, perhaps there's a distinction about whether the physician is present at the time or not. But, you know, one thing I will say is that, you know, we're hearing caller after caller basically going a plague on both their houses as far as Gansler and Brown go. With Mazier, we are at least talking about a policy proposal.
Yes, thank you very much, Andy. Don and Frederick, we'll go to you next. Hi.
Thanks, Dan. A big fan of your show,
thanks.
And I guess I'm going back to the Brown-Gansler controversy, but I decided to support Doug Gansler several years ago. He's really paid a lot of attention to I'm a Democratic activist here in Frederick County. He has consistently, over the course of his two terms, been here in Frederick and paid a lot of attention to Frederick and Western Maryland. I feel like Brown's, and I'm a big supporter of the governor, but I feel like they've had 7 years to give Brown a substantive portfolio, and I really haven't seen, with the exception of veterans issues, I haven't seen him stepping up on much. I'm particularly interested in Gansler and the way he's, what stood out for me was the way he used the powers of his office to go after environmental polluters. I also like the way that he worked with attorneys general nationwide to get mortgage relief for our folks. Now, I'm the first to admit that Doug has got some rough edges, but sometimes you got to admit to yourself that it's the guy with the rough edges that may make the best governor, and that's the that's what I've come out with is that, you know, you really have to look at who is going to be the performer as governor, and based on his record, I think that's Gansler.
Interesting. I mean, he does have a record of accomplishment as attorney general. Been attorney general since 2007. It's been a busy guy, busy office. Yeah,
well, he does have the rough edges vote, that's for sure. Going back to Montgomery County when he was there, I mean, at one point he was reprimanded by the Court of Appeals for criticism that they thought was out of bounds,
right,
directed at a judge.
Right.
And this is the profile you have of him.
Yeah, that's part of his anti-establishment profile, that he's not really in with O'Malley and Brown. Obviously not Brown, but he even presents himself as sort of against the machine, the system in Annapolis.
Well, and certainly the state has appreciated the rough edge of a politician from time to time. Nothing Gansler has said probably holds a candle to half a dozen things William Donald Schaefer said before breakfast every day.
Mm-hmm.
but, you know, on the other hand, Schaefer came from this legacy of executive experience, and there was no questioning what his accomplishments were. They were right there physically for everyone to see. And I think that made some of the difference. And also, it was a different era, of course, too.
Well, and if the symbols of your strength are, in the one hand, a selfie at a beach party, and the Inner Harbor on the other side, I mean, who wins that battle?
Marcia in Windsor Mills says, based on what I've learned about Gansler on your show, there's no way he will get my vote. I think Heather Mazier has some good ideas, but I don't think she can win, unfortunately. I guess that leaves me voting for Anthony Brown, and I'm not sure what I'm getting from him. John in Baltimore, Brown has aggravated me with the botched rollout of Maryland's health exchange, and Gansler has shown poor judgment in what he has said and done on the campaign trail. Right now, I would vote for Mazier, though I am registered with no party, so I might have to switch to Democrat just to do so. Can you affiliate with a party before the primary? The primary is June 24th.
A deadline. I'm not sure when the deadline is. But
don't mean to put you on the spot, Andy. Yeah. But you know so much. You even know who Larry Hogan's running mate is.
Yeah, I know the guy.
What's his name again?
Boyd Rutherford. Yeah.
We ought to talk a little bit about what's going on the Republican side.
Yeah.
We had a report on finances of campaigns last week.
Yeah, well, it was a limited one. We only got a limited snapshot. Not all of the candidates had to file at that particular time. Larry Hogan, for those who don't know, was appointment secretary under the Ehrlich administration. He's a businessman, and he also founded this group called Change Maryland, which is basically what the name would imply. He wants to basically take a bit of a right turn after the O'Malley era, politically speaking, take the state back to the right a little bit. He built up a big social media presence through Change Maryland and has, 80,000 or something likes on Facebook. So he's got some kind of network of supporters out there. He's also plugged into the Ehrlich world of people, of course, and in fact, as we said, selected his running mate, another Ehrlich cabinet secretary, Boyd Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
So he reported having raised, I believe it was $450,000 in the first 90 days of his campaign, which is peanuts to Doug Gansler or Anthony Brown, but as far
pushing
as...
Pushing $7 million, right?
Yeah, as far as the Republican candidates go, that's pretty darn good. Now, compared to what Bob Ehrlich was raising at this point in 2002, it's still not a ton. I mean, he to make a real serious run as a Republican against a Democrat in the general election, you're going to need to be loaded.
So then we have David Craig, Charles Lawler, and Ron George.
Yeah, David Craig, as we said earlier, Harford County executive. His running mate is Delegate Jeannie Hadaway from the Eastern Shore, a talented young legislator. Then Ron George, a delegate from Anne Arundel County, is also running. He's a businessman. He owns a family jewelry business.
And he's a pretty thoughtful guy, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah, and just a really gracious guy, I would say. Yeah. And then Charles Lawler is a businessman from Southern Maryland. Unfortunately, I've never met him. He's coming in for a forum with us in a couple of weeks, so I'll have more to say about him after that.
Yeah, we had him in here. We had all the candidates in for interviews, and we're trying to arrange to have them all back for another interview, a full hour with each candidate on midday, and also devote an hour to the Attorney General's race, primarily between Brian Frosch on the Democratic side, Brian Frosch and John Cardin.
And Aisha Brave Boys.
Aisha Brave Boys, another one, yes. Comments by email. Let me read these, Frazier and Andy. Christopher in Baltimore says, Doug Gansler is bent on shooting himself in the foot. Maybe he didn't intend to impugn veterans or their service, but there were 10 different ways he could have called into question Brown's management capabilities. I think he lost the liberal veteran voting bloc by speaking before thinking. As for Mazeer, I can't condone a religious leader being in an elected legislative position, a reference there to her running mate. I just don't think it's right. If she had a different running mate, she'd probably have my vote.
Yeah, her running mate is Delman Coates, who's the pastor of a big church in Prince George's County, and who voters may remember as he took a leading role in pushing for the marriage equality vote a couple of years ago.
Very interesting. The number of people writing in to comment about Heather Mazeer and not knowing how to spell her name. It's M-I-Z-E-U-R.
Yes.
It looks like the French Mazeer, but it's she pronounces it Mazeer.
Mm-hmm.
Get all kinds of different spellings here, and everybody puts parentheses S-P question mark next to it, so thank you very much. After hearing the mindful comments from Heather Mazeer on your show, I'm voting for her. I agree that we need to deal with topics that might not be comfortable to talk about. That's from Steve. Melissa says, I will remind everyone that while the commercial side of the health insurance exchange failed, it has been very successful in enrolling new Medicaid beneficiaries. Medicaid enrollees are not invisible. More importantly, it isn't the health exchange failure that troubles me. It is Anthony Brown's total unwillingness to discuss any portion of his role in it. His attempt to distance himself from the issue has worked. It is so successful that he appears to have no idea of what worked and what didn't work.
Hmm.
Interesting comments there. And one more here. This is Scott by email. Lieutenant governors are notoriously ineffective and unqualified to assume the governor's office, and is the same case in this race. Oh, man, we had,
So if I could go back to the comment about the health insurance exchange, the emailer brings up a good point. Maryland's enrollment numbers at the end of the day were pretty decent.
They were.
In part, largely because we did a very good job of enrolling people in Medicaid, and there was a large population of people who were getting this limited primary care program through the state before. We were able to switch them over to full Medicaid, which is great for them. And in the end, the enrollment numbers in private insurance plans through the exchange were also a lot better than a lot better than I, for one, thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is it took extraordinary efforts to get there.
And money.
You know, we had to hire all of these extra call center workers. We had to develop these elaborate workarounds. The state had to develop these elaborate workarounds to what was supposed to be an automated process. And now we are dumping the website that we spent $100 and whatever million for and getting a new one, which is going to cost us another $40 or $50 million.
On to Connecticut.
We knew quite early that the system we had was non-functional and wasn't going to be able to be worked around, as they say. I heard from a really good source a month or two before they finally threw in the towel that it
can't be fixed.
You couldn't fix it.
Right.
And why? I don't know enough about computers to say. I think most of us who don't know a lot about it can say, well, of course, everybody can fix it. But no, they couldn't.
I went to one of those one of those events where they were enrolling people. This was in Howard County. Mm-hmm. And they were using the website to get registered or to re-register. But if it wasn't for, as Andy said, not just the call center people, but workers employed navigators to help people get through it. And that was a long process. You know, it took mm-hmm. time, and people had to sit with the navigator at a table and go through it manually. If it wasn't for that, they wouldn't have had those numbers. So credit to those people who worked very hard to get more folks registered. Do we have a clarification on regarding voter registration for the primary? Can you clarify where you can go to get? You can go to the Board of Elections website. In fact, why don't we provide that information for our listeners since we raised it?
Elections.state.md.us.
You're really good, Green. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. But if you are an independent, or a Republican, want to be a Democrat, want to be a vice versa, go check that out. We'll try to get that information for you when the deadlines are for registering for the primary, because there's a lot of independent voters in Maryland who are not eligible to vote in this June 24th election. Andy Green, opinion editor of the Baltimore Sun. He has a couple more forums coming up with gubernatorial candidates down at
Larry
the Sun.
Larry Hogan is next week, and Charles Lawler 2 weeks after that.
And these are open to the public.
Absolutely.
At 501 North Calvert Street in the conference room. So look for mentions of that
on
our website.
Yeah, and we've got ads in the paper to tell you how to reserve free tickets.
Excellent. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
And Frazier, thank you very much for stopping by and for your comments as well.
Pleasure, Dan.
Frazier Smith from the WIPR News staff, the senior analyst here and Daily Record columnist. We'll take a break here for our lunch, brought to us on Tuesdays by Bagby Pizza Company, located in the historic Bagby Building near Harbor East. The Bagby Pizza Company offers brick oven, thin crust pizza, gourmet sandwiches, pastas, and more.